In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one, the only God. Amen. Our lecture today, we have two lectures. I'm going to give them to you. The starting points in preaching. The first lecture titled, The Starting Points in Preaching. How can one of us start the conversation of preaching? I'm still working on preaching man to man. I'm not asking you now to start preaching in communities, large one, as lectures. No, you are not supposed to lecture for the time being. But whenever you come with somebody talking to you, how can you start the discussion? How can you lead them into some way to put Jesus into the subject and direct them towards salvation and church matters? I'll try to present you like six directions you can go through in conversations with anybody as non-believer, so you can catch them into the net as a fisherman. The first approach or starting point is concerning creation. I always imagine that you are traveling with somebody. You meet somebody while traveling. And some people like to say, wow, it's beautiful. They want to say something on upon the beauty of the creatures around. So you can make use of this. This is a good start to guide them into a Christian discussion. You can say, like, I'm giving some examples, but it's not, a standard. I don't believe this kind of beauty could come haphazardly without a designer, as people say. Understand what I mean? You can direct the discussion. Could such beauty come by itself? I cannot believe that this beauty has no designer, has no one to initiate or to create. In this case, you may find the guy saying, but I don't believe in God, so you can start conversation. Or he can say that there should be a creator. Then we will proceed into who is the creator, who is such a creator, how he looks like. You understand the way I want to start the discussion. There should be a designer is a big title into preaching. You know, there are many non-believers do not believe in creation. They believe now in evolution and these theories. And this is a long story. You may not read much in science, but at least you should know how to discuss such matters. What are the differences between those who believe in evolution and those who believe in creation? Actually, we believe that there is some kind of evolution. We do not ignore this kind of evolution. Everybody of us had evolved in his life, like improvement in something, progressing in something. So evolution as an idea is accepted. But evolution as the major theory of evolution, like man started as plant before, this kind of evolution is not accepted theologically and not accepted even scientifically. So you have to know this. Don't be surprised by those who believe evolution is a must. It's not a must. Even scientifically, nobody now believe in evolution in this way. So if you can catch the way and say that there should be a designer and how beautiful he is, how great he is, you can start talking about God. He is great, eternal, almighty, loving and wise. You know, this kind of words, they look like the pillars of our faith. When you state like God is eternal, you are saying something. When you say God is love, is a loving person, because this beauty is kind of loving character. So it related to somebody who is loving personality. Almighty, it means he can do anything. He can create. He is fully powered to do whatever he likes. And you can, you know, discuss it in very simple thing, that you can say this kind of plate or glass of water, there should be somebody who made this glass. It did not come by itself. So if this simple thing comes by somebody, how can the creation or the world itself came by itself? Nobody can believe in this. So you can say it in simple way. After proceeding to the designer, creation needs designer. The second step is this kind of design, this designer should speak to us. If there is somebody there, out there, who created everything, who created man, he should communicate with man. He should introduce himself to us. So, after saying something about the designer, you can proceed into the kind of communication. How God communicates with people. You understand the steps, okay? In theology, we believe that God speaks in at least four ways. First of all, he speaks in our conscience. So any man has some voice inside himself saying some truth. That's why we believe in all people. They can know God simply. If you read Romans, the epistle of St. Paul to Rome, in his first lecture, he was saying that those pagans, those non-believers, do not have any excuse, because they should believe in God, because their hearts speak about him. So God speaks in our conscience, because when you sin, when you make some mistake, you believe, you feel guilty. This is kind of voice of God. So he speaks loudly inside your heart. The second way of communication between God and man, God speaks in history. When you read the history, although you see many mistakes, many bad things happened in the history, but usually good conquers bad. And lastly, you feel like there's somebody push the good against the bad. And all people believe in good. So there is some voice here. God speaks in history. Another kind of communication that the designer speaks with man is through the Bible. This is the third step, you know. We believe that God spoke to man through his conscience and through creation. I forgot to tell you about creation. The beauty of the world around speaks about God. God speaks through his creatures. As you see some painting of a great artist, you can listen to his words, to his meaning, through the painting. You understand what I mean? So we believe that the world around is something like a painting of God. So you can hear his voice, hear his loving voice, through the beauty of his creation. So we believe God speaks in your conscience, in history, and in the world around, in creation. Lastly, we can put the part of God to speak to us, he should come to us, because nobody can go to him. He is the bigger one. We cannot reach him, but he can reach us. That's why we believe as Christian that God became man to speak to us. You understand? So this is the fourth step of communication, God and man. Again, I want you to remind the way you introduce the subject and go through it to push the word of our Lord Jesus Christ finally into the conversation. You started by saying this is kind of beauty. And any kind of beauty should be related to some kind of designer. And the designer is good, is loving, is eternal, is almighty. And such a designer will never create all these things and stop communicating with the people who minds, who think. So what kind of communication you think God makes speak to man? He speaks into your heart, he speaks the history, he speaks into the creation, and lastly, he speaks into the Bible and by coming to us. And this is what we call revelation in the New Testament. God revealed himself through the word of God and through incarnation. Incarnation yani tajassud. God revealed himself first of all in the New Testament, in the Holy Book, and after he became man to speak to us, man to man. So we can touch him, we can listen to him, we can see him. And this is the final revelation. If you refuse to accept God in his final revelation, it means that you, excuse me, you want to stay stupid, you want to resist. Never ever say that the man is stupid. I mean, because the Bible said so, that those who refuse to accept God, who revealed himself in creation, in history, in conscience, in the Bible, and in coming to us, they are have no excuse. They are like stupid. Also, by saying communication with God, what God will say to you, what God speaks loudly. He speaks first of all and most important the word of love. God is love. This is kind of revelation. In your heart you feel that God speaks words of love. He created you in a loving way. You are the most beautiful creature. You are much more beautiful than anything in the world. So he should show his love all through the four or the five ways of revelation. Also, he show us his power. And lastly, he show us his wisdom. And you know, these three words are the cornerstones in believing in God. We believe in God as almighty and all-loving and all-wise or full of wisdom. He is full of love, power and wisdom. And this triangle is very important in believing in God. And you know, this could be shared by Jews and by Muslims and by many. But non-believers do not believe in God, do not believe in any designer. So this starting point, it might help with those who do not believe in God, or those who do not believe in God as loving person. God is love. And others who believe in God as a careless person. Many believe that God is there, but he does not care. He is there for himself. He is very selfish. I don't care whether he is there or not. Because by logic, they cannot ignore the presence of God. There should be a designer. But they do not feel his touch of love. So we have to proceed from the designing part to the communication part. Understand the steps, okay? Also, he shows his love through the cross power. This is the last point you should say. Don't start by this one. You present God's love in creation, you present God's love in your life, you feel it, you present God's love in the Word of God, and by coming to us on earth. And lastly, to show his love mostly, he accepted the cross. He accepted redemption. By his resurrection, by the eternal life, through his presence, by his Holy Spirit. This is, you know, the whole story of salvation. That you started by God is there, God came to man, God died for man, God raised from the death for man, and then he will come again to take us to his kingdom of heaven. this is the whole story of salvation, but you cannot start with this story. Lastly, if the guy you are speaking to is happy with the conversation, it's better to push him the last push to either way to the church. If he is para-Christian, you know, he is nearby Christian, he is an old Christian, you can push him in a church, but better to push him to the Bible. Better to end your story with this person saying that, do you like to read the Bible? If he asks more questions, you can tell him, I have an extra Bible if you like to have one like this, and I prefer you start by reading St. Mark Gospel, for an example. You understand? Or if you stuck with the creation story, I believe you, it's better for you to start reading the Genesis, the first three chapters. So most people will accept the Bible as a gift from you, and they do not refuse to read. So now you made something by giving them the Bible. Remember always that the work of preaching, evangelism, should be directed towards two major things: faith and repentance. Again, this is very important. In discussing the religious matters with anybody, you should be always targeting faith. You want to put faith in his heart, faith in God, believing God and his redemption, and also repentance, because faith alone can never give him salvation. Okay? He needs to be repented beside his faith. If he believes in God, he should proceed to leaving his old character and old life. Okay? This was the first starting approach. Okay? The first way to start talking to somebody. You may take the lead of creation. Okay? The second, you have like six, okay? Six approaches. The second approach, we may call the approach of sin. In any discussion with any non-believer, you may hear such sentences, or any sentence like this one: everything is corrupted, everything is bad, I hate these people. Okay? I think this is very common, not only in Egypt, all over the world. There is no way. Life is miserable, life is bad. Okay? You can answer back, I don't think the world was created to be corrupted, or say, there should be some sort of a way out of this corruption. You understand what I mean? So you push him, after complaining of the bad things in the world around, or the sinful life we all live in, you push him into, there should be some way out of this. Or I don't think this was the plan, if there is any plan. You understand? Then the discussion will take some way in, or different ways. He may say, like, isn't sin relative? If you say, like, the word of sin, the guy may say, sin is relative, which means, or he might mean, that sin is different from one to another. Those who make adultery may not believe is as a sinful person. We believe this kind of sin is a major sin. But you can push him into another way, that sin, we all see the corruption, we all feel the sinful life, we all feel the darkness of this world, we all suffer of being bad, we are not good enough. I don't think that anybody will not stand against this. So he may say that we refer to our conscience. You can say, what do you think conscience comes from? There should be some standard conscience. Because you feel guilty when you lie, and I feel guilty when I lie. Who taught you and who taught me? There should be something common. So I think if there is some designer, some creator, he puts in our hearts some standards, some morals. So the start of sin problem or sin approach will guide you into another step, which is very important, that there should be like standard moral for human beings built in our hearts, whatever our nationality, our upbringing, our development, there's something common. So we are not like evolved from some old creatures, but we are created. By saying that the morals inside the heart, inside anybody's conscience, you can tell him the story of the Bible here. That because God saw that we are not all running into the way of the good morals, we are deviating from the morals inside our hearts, God put the standards written. And he wrote down the standards he made into our hearts in the Bible, in the Old Testament, and he became our standard when he came to on earth to live these standards. You understand? Again. Excuse my language. First of all, there's some standard into all human beings' hearts. Okay? Second level, these standards are not clear enough for everybody. So God wrote down what are the standards of these human beings created as on his image. Even after writing down the standards, man refused these standards and deviated from the plan. So God came as man to show us what was the original plan. What are the standards we created to live in? You understand? So you can put the story of coming of God through this way. Sin stands for morals. Morals stand for conscious. Conscious ask for standards. Standards look for written standards, dogmas. And dogmas ask for somebody living as a standard. Which is God? Who is God? Because nobody is perfect. But God can live as man as perfect. Man, we need to see. You understand the story? So it's logic. I want to proceed by logic. It's logic for God to come and live, and we can see him as the perfect man as he planned for. You got me? You understand? Okay. So this is the kind of way out. We did not touch the way out yet, but this is the start of pushing the idea of salvation. So salvation means how to get away from sin, how to restore the full perfect image inside us, how to live the best life we can. You understand? So everybody cry for salvation, although they do not know the meaning of the word salvation. They do not use such word. Don't push the word of salvation early. Okay? Just explain it without naming it. After such process, you can proceed into man can never do it alone. I don't think you can say on yourself. You can speak about yourself. I don't think I can make it by myself. I do not think I can stop my bad ideas. I tried a lot to change my heart towards many people. I couldn't. So most probably he will share you this. It's not easy to change. Now it's the time to put the power of God inside, the grace of God. You understand? So again, sin stands for morals. Morals stand for conscious. Then the Bible, then the incarnation, the coming of God, and after which, how to get out of this sinful life, so you start speaking about why God came to us. Not only to put the standard in front of us, but also to help us to change, to help us to conquer sinful life, to start the new life as perfect as we can with the power of God. Okay? And this is the meaning of salvation. So we need an extra power of salvation through the redemption of Jesus Christ, God and man. It's important to show our belief in Christ as God and man, full God and full man. But don't speak much on the nature of Jesus Christ with those who do not know nothing. You may speak about the nature of Christ with those who ask. Ask what is our Lord's nature. Also, it's better to focus on that. Sinning, I mean to live in sin, it's not easy to get out of this sinful life, so it needs fight continuously. It needs communication with God continuously. You cannot stop sinning easily because the nature is corrupted. You know, and corruption of nature is the cornerstone in theology, in Christian theology, that we are speaking about nature, human nature, which is corrupted by sin. We do not use, by the way, the word destructed. No. The nature of the human being is not fully destructed. It's only corrupted. You understand? And corruption needs redemption, needs reconciliation, needs salvation, but not fully destructed. That's why we are looking after the image of our Lord Jesus Christ inside all hearts, even those who do not believe. But in the afterlife, at this point, you can focus also on the afterlife. If I couldn't get the full perfect picture I aim at, I'm waiting to enjoy such picture in the afterlife. So there should be an afterlife because I'm not as good as I wished. You understand? So it's very logical to wait for another life which is perfect. More perfect than what I gained here. What I could make here. You understand? So even the idea of the afterlife comes here. That by being perfect, by trying to be perfect at the standard given in the Bible and in our Lord Jesus Christ, also I'm looking forward to see this perfect life in another life. Because this physical body stands an obstacle in our way for perfection. This kind of perfect life, he may ask, how can one enjoy the perfect life? How can I get away from sin? How can I change myself from a bad guy to a good one? How can I leave such darkness? Whatever the question, please push the Bible here. The Bible is the book for the better life, or for the best life. The Bible is the standard for the perfect or the new life. So you can give him this book for this target. Also the church, you can put the church in this way, but the church, you know, is not very suitable for many. Don't put the church for those who are you know, had bad history with the church. I am reminding you of faith and repentance, because there are many other points you can proceed. He may say, by the way, I have many relations with many women, and I don't think this is good. Okay, he is saying something bad. He is living in sin, but he is not ashamed of this, but he does not feel happy. He does not feel safe, definitely. So you can say in this part, I don't think one can come nearer to God in such sin. I think one should leave such life to enjoy the better life. As our Lord did with the Samaritan woman after giving himself as a good example, as a loving person, then he proceeded into how about your husband, how many men you are living with, why don't you change this kind of life? Okay, so repentance comes here. The third kind of approach, love. We can call it love approach. Usually it starts by using simply the word of love. I love this, I love this man, I love, yeah, whatever love. So by handling this word love, you can push the Christian evangelism here. I'm not sure of what love means. It's kind of philosophical approach, but most probably people accept this. Do you mean by love emotionally or commitment or kind of relationship? Or I think we use this word in many places not suitable for the word. You know, when you discuss the matter of love, they mean most probably emotional or physical, but they do not mean the relation. Because when you love an apple, you do not have a real relation with the apple, you just eat it. And that's what we call in the old Greek, it's kind of storge. The word love has four words in Greek. Storge means I eat this, I love eating this. Storge is the word of love in a relation with the material. So it had nothing to do with real relations. And philia is the kind of love, the human good love, which is a friendship. Also, another word, this is not our subject, but just for your information, another word in Greek is the eros. Eros is the sexual love. It's the tendency towards the other sex. It's not real love, it's just a desire, a tendency. But agape is the real word of love. Agape is the God's love. When God is love, this means agape. Agape is the giving love, is the caring love, is the pure love. So most people use the word of love not into the agape type, you understand? But you want to push the conversation into this direction. You want to show how agape, don't use the Greek word, but how the love, the unconditioned love, the pure love, is much more beautiful than any other kind of love. I will, the love never changed and never ends. This kind of cry, I hear it from many foreigners. I remember a French girl, I do not speak French by the way, but we were talking some English. She came to me, she was an atheist, her father and mother were Christians, but she's not. And she told me that I believe in all the word in the Bible. But by the way, I don't think I need Christ. I don't need such religion. But I accept the morals in the Bible. God gave me some grace saying, don't you think you need somebody to love you, whoever you are, wherever you are? And don't you think you need somebody to love you even if you are bad? And this loving person never changed and never die. I found her eyes full of tears. She had many bad stories, many bad relations. And as simple as that, she told me, I think I will read the Bible again. That's easy. Because nobody do not need this kind of unconditioned love, unchangeable love. We are, you know, we love each other, but we always fear, afraid of losing those who love us and those who we love. So we are loving each other, but we are not secured the only secured love is the eternal love, is God's love. It's the unconditioned love. So you are giving something very precious to everybody. When you start the subject of love, you are focusing on very important issue for everybody. I wish this love never changes and never ends. I think this love is not man's love. And all non-believers had many miserable relations before. So you should expect that they will go with you in this, that man's love is never ever satisfying. Okay, even being a mother or a father, a grandmother and grandfather, a good friend, whatever, they will say, yes, man's love is not enough. We do not enjoy it fully. We cannot secure ourselves in such a relation. We need somebody else. We need some bigger love. I need those who love me unconditionally. I wish my wife, you can speak on yourself. I wish my friends accept me even if I'm down, I'm bad. But I don't think they will accept me being bad. So I suffer much of this love. I love them, but they cannot respond always on the level of perfect love when I'm not good as they want me. So I need somebody to love me even if I'm bad. So you are pointing at God, but step by step. I need that those whom I love would never die and never change. The same idea, never die. Because when you love somebody or you enjoy loving by somebody who is really good, you wish this man never die. You will feel this feeling. I think Gabriel Marcel, one of the philosophers, said, when you love somebody, you tell him, please never die. He said so. By loving anybody, you are saying into your heart, please don't go. Never go. But they go. Everybody go. But God never go. You understand? I need that those whom I love would never die and never change. God is love. So now you can put the name of God. I'm having a very precious gift now. I'm introducing my friend to you. I'm introducing my father to you. I'm introducing my God to you. My God is love. The way you like. The way you need. The one you need. You need him. You need his love. You need his unconditioned love. You need him as a father, as a friend, as everything. The source of love, the eternal love, and the unconditioned love. By logic, he will ask back, he may ask, how can I touch this love? I can see you, but I can't see your God. So how can I touch this love? How can I communicate with your God? Now time for introducing the cornerstone of our Christianity. God came to man again. This is the cornerstone of our Christianity. That God became man to be seen, to give his love clearly to man. God was always love, and he is love. But man did not catch his love. So he came to us to give his love clearly. So this is the time you say, by the way, we believe in God as love. That's why we believe he should come to us to express his love. Our Lord Jesus Christ, by the way, he is God, because he is the one who could love everybody unconditionally, and he never changed. And he also promising us with eternal life, with eternal love. It sounds good to those who lack love. It helps those who cry into their hearts finding somebody to love them honestly. So this kind of talk is not strange. He should come to us so that we can see it. He shouldn't die or he would better conquer death for all of us. Now comes the point of redemption. That how about I'm dying, I will die. But love never dies. I wish that I enjoy the story of love forever. Okay, this is the good news we have, that if you come into a relation with God who is love, you will have eternal life. You will never die because you touch it, such kind of love. When you hold this love, you will start your life forever. You are not afraid of dying because you, when you die, you leave these people, but you do not leave him. And he will never leave you. But they will leave you by dying. You die, they die, but he never dies. So you will continue the relation with him forever. Not physically by this body, but your soul inside. And you may get another physical body after. Don't go this way now. You understand what I mean? So he shouldn't die, or it's better to stop me from dying, to conquer my death, and he did so. That's why we believe our Lord Jesus Christ as being love. He died on the cross for all of us to give us his power of resurrection, his power of eternal life, so we can enjoy with him his eternity. How can I enjoy such love? Simply, please remember to say, when the guy is walking with you the way, just tell him, why don't you start praying? Why don't you try praying? Why don't you ask him to show his love to you? I believe he will. When he see your face in you, into your eyes, he will pray. When he finds you, you are that sure that your God is living and loving, he will pray. Because he needs such love. He needs to be touched by such person. So, simply you will tell him, just speak to him. He is listening. He came to us, but he is waiting for us there. And we will die for sure. But it's better to find him at the front. We enjoyed our relation with him on earth. Believe in him and talk to him. This is the message. Just believe in him. God is love, and start talking to him. Ask him to show his personality to you. Communicate with God through praying. Why don't you read his words? Again, I'm talking about the Gospels, because the story of Christ is the most loving story you can give to anybody. Story of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think for those who start their knowledge about our Lord Jesus Christ, better to start with St. Mark's Gospel. Read his words and accept him and his teachings. Also, with a love approach, there should be a better life which is full of life. This is, you know, not our life here. We are trying hardly to get this loving life here, but we are sure that if we do not manage to live the perfect loving life here, we are sure that we will enjoy the perfect loving life there. So we are just trying here, fighting for this. And by fighting for this, we will catch it there. The spiritual life will fill your life with love for now. Again, the spiritual life, when you start your relationship with God, you will start enlightenment of your heart. You will start feeling the touch of love, God's love into your heart now, for now. But also this will continue and be completed forever in the eternal life. Simply, when we speak about heaven, kingdom of heaven, we speak about loving life, full loving life. This is simply our heaven. You understand? And nobody need not to go to such place. Nobody cry not for this. Everybody wants or cry for this. He needs such full loving life. Again, you will end with the Bible, and you remind him, or you remind yourself to push him just little by little into repentance and faith. The fourth approach, the approach of morals. It's a little bit similar to the sin approach, but there are some different ideas. These people are good or bad. We are not starting by corruption and sin, but we are starting with good and bad. I know they are more or less similar, but I like to present this too. When saying good and bad, this always stands for some standard. What are the standards for good and bad? Why did you say good? And why did you say bad? So how could you specify or define being good or bad? He will tell you easily that they are bad because they lie, they are not honest, they have bad relations, they are money makers, whatever he says. But is it relative? No, there are many bad clear things and many clear good things that are worldly accepted. What do I mean by this? Again, there is some international morals everywhere. And this point is very important in apologetics. Apologetics means those who discuss Christianity matters with atheists, or who defend Christianity against offenders. So the apologetics always use such an idea. Being on one standard of morals, we believe, although nobody put this belief inside our hearts, we all believe that bad is bad. We do not like bad attitudes or bad behavior, and we all love and like good behavior. This means that we are all of one nature, and we all designed in one by one hand. There should be some law, a human internal one who is designed for the good and bad. There should be a source for this God, for this good. I mean, when you see the good in everybody, this stands for the source. What is the source for this good? There should be some source of good and source of bad. I mean, God and devil, you understand? So you want to push him into some belief of God is the source of good, and there's some power, there are other power for bad, devil. And man lives trying to live good, but always fighted by bad power. The Creator who created man with morals and ethics that are mostly accepted by all. Life is better with the good morals, life is worse with the bad morals, not only for oneself but also for others. Bad is not only bad for oneself, but being bad is destructive for others. So the world of bad things is not the target of anybody. I mean, there should be some world of good. We all wish for a good life with no bad, with no mistakes, with no sins. Okay? There should be a standard, a perfect man, a model for all to follow. Again, I'm trying to hurry. No man can be like that. None is perfect. When anybody say that none is perfect, it's time to put your Lord here, to say, I know somebody is perfect. I believe there is only one who is perfect. He is the great teacher of the whole world. He is my Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is not only a man, he is the creator of a man. That's why he is perfect. Because he knows what perfection means. I wish to be like him. And I think I can enjoy my life being like him. And I cannot enjoy the full life away from his picture or image. There should be the God-man. God-man is a good term. God-man means the perfect man. God-man means God and man. God-man means God who I can see. And this is the Son of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the seen God. God is always unseen, but Jesus Christ is the seen God. So God should be incarnated. Secular morals are always secular, means those who do not believe. Secular. Almania. Secular morals are always limited by sins and negatives of others. I mean, don't expect that those who do not believe do not love good. Everybody love good. Understand? So they are always suffering. They all suffer from the bad things around. So this an approach to put the perfect model in front of them. Love is not limited. He could give his life to his enemies. This is, you know, the perfection. When love is complete, such person can love his enemies. Nobody can do this. Nobody. Never ever. But with the power of God, because God can do this. God is the only one who can love, real love, to his enemies. And with his power, you can do this. You understand? That's why this is a commandment in our New Testament. It was not in the Old Testament, because they did not see him. But after seeing our Lord Jesus Christ, he asked us to love your enemies, as I do. You understand? Because we can see him loving his enemies. He could give his life to his enemies. This perfection can never be reached on earth. So there should be some better life, a perfect one. We call it the kingdom of heaven. You can put the words of the Bible, our common words, you can put our usual common words inside the discussion, but little by little. You can say, by the way, we call it in our belief, kingdom of heaven. And this kingdom of heaven starts now. When you start your relationship with God, when you feel his love, when you start changing into a better one, you can enjoy such kingdom. You are now a member of his kingdom, kingdom of heaven. So you can use the terms in the Bible, but don't push all terms together. Salvation, reconciliation, don't do this, because they do not know, they do not, they are not in common with this. Accept it, King. Simply, how can I be member of this kingdom? Just accept the King as your King. Accept him as your Creator, as his your Savior. He is the King. If you believe in him as King and follow him, this is the way. By following him, he will repent, he will be baptized, he will go into the church, he will enjoy the sacraments. But don't say all of this. Just say, accept him as your King, and follow him. This simple answer are the whole request of any non-believer. Just accept him, which means faith, belief, and follow him, which includes repentance and all steps after. The fifth approach, sufferings. Remember Sayyidina Amr Thomas were saying that he were discussing some matter, some discussion with a woman or a man, I do not remember now, that he lost somebody, and that was the start of the conversation. This is a very good start, actually. All people suffer. So we all suffer. And suffering is a good starting point to point at our faith. How? I feel tired, I feel sick, I have a problem, I lost my husband, I'm separated, I'm living alone, I lost my job, I'm afraid, I'm living in a bad condition these days, I'm not happy anymore. All these sentences state for the suffering approach. I wonder why man should suffer. This is your answer. You understand? You answer back by saying, why should we suffer? You are directing him to philosophize what suffering. Why? Okay? better to look for a savior or look for a better life with no suffering? Don't you think it's better to live some life with no suffering? I cannot imagine life without suffering. But I cry for this. I wish I could live some life with no tears, with no suffering. Is there any? I don't think there is any. Also, he should feel others' feelings and share in their sufferings. I mean, if this guy you are talking to is not living a suffering story, definitely he knows somebody who suffers. Or he may say some word on somebody who is suffering. So you can start even the way the discussion by this. This kind of helper, we need somebody to stop suffering. We need somebody to save us from these pains. But such a savior, such a helper, he should suffer our sufferings. He should feel our feelings. He should touch our wounds. He can never help us if he never suffer. Okay? What are the sources of this suffering? You can go through this idea. Why we suffer? I can see you. This is your answer. I think, or I can see the corruption, the sin behind most or even all suffering. This is a very good approach. Actually, the bad deeds, the sins in the world are behind most of the sufferings. The wars, al-harub, sinful acts, and leave millions of suffering stories after. Being greedy, you put some pain on others. Being selfish, being whatever bad, means hurting others. So there is some very good relation between sin and suffering. So in our belief, in our theology, God did not create suffering, but suffering was created with sin. It's man's creation. Man created pain by doing sin. Adam and Eve were not suffering of anything, but by starting sinning, they start suffering. So just put this into your back mind when you are speaking on the subject of suffering. That does not mean that all pains are always related to specific sin. No. But the world we live in now is the world of sin and suffering. So they are like twins. And with the end of this world, sin and suffering will be ended, will be finished. You understand? So they are very much related. So when you start with the subject of suffering, you can proceed to the subject of sin. You can. Also here, you can say, even if I do not love like suffering, but I think my free will is behind most of my suffering. My suffering and others' suffering. I did something bad, so my kids suffer. I did something bad, so I was imprisoned, or I lost my job. So I should say that my free will, this is the story of free will. Free will is very good start for some discussions. My free will is behind my suffering because I did mistake and this ended by some kind of suffering. Man could not and can never win the game against suffering by himself. This is also like a statement, like a truth. You want to push it into the discussion that actually I cannot stop such suffering by myself. Life is full of pains and I don't think I can win the game against my pains, especially when somebody loses somebody. This is not easy. So stopping suffering is not easy. I need somebody to help me who can conquer this pain. We need help. We need extra power. We need a savior. Now you can use the word of savior. Okay? The savior means our Lord. He should suffer too, even more than our suffering. So this is now the good news. Your good news now is coming that you have such Savior, you have this Lord who suffered more than anybody, but not because of his sin, because of other sin. He is the only one who suffered innocently. He was not sinful. He was not behind his suffering. He suffers for others. But I suffer and you suffer because we are sinful persons. You understand? So this is the good news. We got this kind of Savior who loved us and suffered for us, not for himself. And with his suffering, we can win the game. We can conquer our pains. We can live a happier life. We can finish these years of our life here and wait for the life with no suffering or no sin after. He should suffer too, even more than our suffering. He should have the power to heal and to promise no more suffering. This is very good. This kind of Savior, he should have the power to heal. Nobody can heal many sufferings. We cannot help each other in times of strong pains, you know. But the only healer, the best one, the only one is God. Because he suffered and he is almighty. He can do it. He can do it. He can help you to get out of this. So he should have the full power to heal and also the promise not to suffer again, at least not in this life, in the eternal life. Lastly, we will end with the faith story and repentance. I do not speak about repentance in this lecture, but just remind yourself, if the guy you're talking to is going the way with you, just help him, lastly, to repent, to change. Remind him, if you want to start this kind of new life, you cannot make it with the bad things. Understand? But very lightly. That's the last approach, thank God. The last approach is the approach of the afterlife. Sometimes I feel I would love to live my life again. I guess I would do different things. I heard it from some American man. I feel I would love to live my life again. He was an old man, but he made such sentence, good one. I feel I would love to live my life again. I guess I would do different things. If the time comes again, I would change the whole story. I'm planning to live differently, but actually I don't have the choice. He believes he does not have the choice. The good news is you have the choice to live a new life, to live better life, to live longer life. If he does not believe in eternal life, he is in misery. He is in despair because he lost his life. He counted the days, the previous one, like 60 years or more. So he is left with like 30 years. But he cannot live the life again. But if you give him the good news, the perfect news, that you can live longer, very much longer, and in a better way. This is the story of afterlife. Does this mean that you wish to live a second life? An exciting question. Do you wish to live another life? I think he will know what you are talking about. I don't want to die. This is another expression, you know. I don't want to die. Many say so, especially the non-believers. They never like to die. But those who believe, actually, they get the power not to fear death. But I don't want to live as a crippled and old and weak. I don't like this life. Don't give me life with such misery. I wish to live longer, but happier, stronger. But I can't. Okay, the good news that you can. I wish I would live a full life. I wish I would enjoy love, achievements. I can't get, I'm expressing many expressions, you know, many sentences you can hear from those who do not believe. I can't get all my wishes in such a life. Life is too short to know and enjoy everything in it. you can say the same sentences to encourage him to talk more, you understand? For the start, push him to complain from such life. This is a good network you are doing for him to catch, okay? Life is too short to know and enjoy everything in it. I wish life would never end. Now come, how about if you find somebody who have it and can also give it? This is the good news. We preach the Savior who can give a better life, a longer life, a happier life, a new life. This is the good news. This is the Bible. This is Christianity. You understand? So this approach is the afterlife one. He could live again after death with no more pain or suffering. So you are, those who fear dying, those who are in terminal cases, you know, terminal cases in medicine, we were saying terminal case. Terminal case, that no hope in medicine, hopeless case. But they do not use hopeless, it's a bad one. They use terminal case. And they need something we call palliative treatment. Palliative, like symptomatic treatment. You just give them painkiller. But you are not treating the story anymore. There are many now. These terminal cases, they should think what's after. They face it. I'm dying. I will die soon. What's after? So even if he stayed the whole life atheist, now he should think. And this is your choice, your chance, I mean, to push him to think more, but in a biblical way, in your way, with the good news, okay? He could live again after death with no more suffering and pain. He could live forever, moreover, not on earth where the needy bodies live. There should be an afterlife. There should be. Because I don't think the story of a man ends like that. You such a good man, a great man with achievements. You want to tell me that your story will end in such sand with some dust? Is it silly to start a great story and end it like this one? It's logic to have another life. But what do you think this kind of life? You want to eat again and to enjoy physical needs again? Don't you think there should be some higher standard of life, better quality of life? What the most beautiful minute you lived? I think you will find it when you were very good and very loving. Don't you think an afterlife with always loving and always perfect is much more better than now? So if there is some minute, good one in your life, with pure love and righteousness, perfection, this is the kind of life you are talking about. This is Christianity. We are looking after the new perfect life, the good and loving, righteous life. There should be some specific way to it. What is the way? After putting the subject of afterlife, now is the subject of the way to the afterlife. You understand the step of the way. You start with an afterlife idea, and which way to this afterlife. How about a medicine? No medicine, actually. I wish there is something like that. There is no medicine, but I have the medicine. I have the good news for you. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who created us, he is also the Savior. He saved us from death. He died for us. He gave us the power of resurrection. But this kind of power you can never get without believing in him. So if you accept him, believe him, follow him, get baptized, you will start taking such power, so you will live forever. Thank you for listening. Any questions in 5 minutes? Yes, Nell. Yeah. Dalia, we're asking about, I said before that don't push the subject of sacraments, baptism, and these things early. She's saying, how about if this meeting, I do not know whether I'll meet him again or not. As we said before, Don't rush, don't push it. Just put the seed and leave it. God will continue. You are not working alone. You are working with God. But don't push it. If you push it, he will he will flee. Okay? You'll fly. Hey, Bush. Okay. Actually, there are many other answers, and we will cover this in a special lecture. Why suffering? Why evil? Why? Okay? So please let it be in another lecture. Amira? Okay. Amira was asking about the creation approach. We stated that creation stands for a creator, and the question is, why might such a creator speak or communicate with his creation? Actually, in our life, when you create something, when you achieve something, you love it. You love it, okay? And another way, when you become a mother, you will enjoy talking to your daughter. You will enjoy the relationship. God created man as his son. He is not only a materialistic creature. So God enjoyed all the beauty in the world, but specifically with man, he should communicate, because he is not a materialistic one. He is his man. This is our belief. So he should communicate. Okay. Okay, it's a good question. Why God left man for such long period, right? And he did not save him earlier, okay? Actually, the free will plays a big role in all answers of such questions. God left man to his free will to try his best to save himself, and man failed, just to cry for God to interfere. So now we are crying for help. All creation cry for help. So we do not trust ourselves for saving ourselves. Okay? Yes. Don't label anybody with sin of adultery because he is living with his girlfriend. Don't touch this story. He believes this is quite natural. He does not believe in the sacrament yet. So don't open this subject. But everybody believes having many affairs is something wrong. So don't touch this one. But whenever he comes to Christ, he believes in Christ, he believes in a new life, everything will be new. That's the sentence written by St. Paul. Now everything is new. So his relation with this girlfriend is new. And we will put it into the sacred relation by marital wedding, by the sacrament of wedding. So we do not start by this. Yes. Yes, everything we can repair after. Thank you for the time.